listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
You are indeed. I'm Michael Sterling.
And I only wish I was, Michael.
But you're not.
I'm not.
You're not. You're the good-looking Paul Sterling.
As much as I try to be. Well, that's up for debate, but I appreciate the comment nonetheless.
Absolutely. How are you? I'm good. How are you?
I am good. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our weekly live arts calendar.
In 1971, our guest today created a little company called Breakdown Services, a service that synopsizes scripts for the purposes of casting. Over the past 40 years, the word breakdown has become a noun synonymous with the casting process, and his various companies have become premier services for agents, managers, casting directors, and actors, with offices in Los Angeles, New York, Vancouver, and Toronto. But in the time it's taken me to read this, I'm sure they're breaking ground somewhere else. Please welcome Gary Marsh.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes.
I can't believe we haven't had you on yet, considering you're our sponsor.
I can't believe it either.
But we've had wonderful representatives.
Yes, we have. We've had a number of people come in.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
But Gary's always, I think his nose is a little out of joint that we took.
We've never given anybody a whole hour.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah. We're sort of doing a public service today.
We are.
Yes. Oh, and along those lines, we should let people know that Gary's going to be taking calls if you have questions regarding the acting industry or anything related to casting or anything related to what Breakdown Services or many of their sub-companies provide. The in-studio phone number is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. But before we get there, how was your week, Michael?
It was packed. Thanks for asking. You know, Paul, that I'm getting ready to open a new supper club, Gary, a new supper club called Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. And the Federal is a hot spot out in the NoHo Arts District of North Hollywood. And we open April 1st with the lovely Lainey Kazan on stage in a evening of Bob Merrill songs. And if you're familiar with Broadway, Bob Merrill wrote with Julie Stein. He wrote a little show called Funny Girl.
How did you choose April 1st?
April 1st.
That's April Fool's Day. That's my favorite day of the year.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Really? Well, maybe you could join us if you're... not fooling around.
Well, as long as I'm not misbehaving. Yeah.
That's right.
But this is I'm sorry. Do that one more time, Gary. Would you just say, as long as I'm not misbehaving, one more time?
I'm not misbehaving.
Thank you. Okay. I got to get better on that. On that button. I know.
It's a wonderful show called Take Me Along, and it does celebrate the work of Bob Merrill, and it is done with not only Miss Kazan, but also five wonderful performers from Broadway, Julie Garnier, Juliana Hanson, Melody Hollis, Christopher McNeely, Jeffrey Christopher Todd, and it is a very entertaining and also somewhat educational evening. It's the stories of Bob Merrill, how these pieces of music came to be.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it's
so
fascinating.
So it's not just people like singing songs in sequence or some banter about the history
of them. Yes, in between. I mean, it's not... It don't get me wrong. It's not something that gets dry at any point of the way.
There won't be a quiz at the end.
No. It's very, very... The way it's structured, it's very, very entertaining. And Lainey is the special guest, and we'll get up and sing a particular song that Mr. Merrill wrote, and which has become quite famous since then. So we're very excited. And for reservations, people can call 818-754-8700. We're actually technically... sold out as of yesterday, but you know, we have a waiting list, and since you know the guy who runs the place, you probably
I was going to say, do I get any special?
Yes, you do.
But the thing is, he also knows me, so that could actually hurt him.
And you're going to be there.
I'm going to be there. I got a party of seven. Yeah,
that's right.
I'm really looking forward to meeting Miss Kazan again. We had a great time with her last week, and there's a lot of stuff on the internet on our Facebook page about other people that enjoyed her interview as well. So
wonderful.
It was a lot of fun.
Now that was my week, kind of revving up and getting everything ready to go on Sunday. And I know that You always have something that's provocative in your week.
Well, here's the thing. I'm doing Ghosts at the Edgemar Center Theater,
yeah.
And I had to grow this beard for it, which I'm becoming less and less of a fan of as each day goes on.
Yeah.
And then something happened today which really made me realize that I'm going to shave it off like before the curtain call of the last performance. I'm going to get this thing off my face. Because, you know, people... There's always the thing about if you look like a celebrity, it's immediately a compliment. Oh, you look like so-and-so. Well, you know, I don't... Steve Buscemi is a great actor, but no one wants to be told they look like Steve Buscemi. Not that I heard that this time, but someone in my building, because I live in a condo, said, you grew a beard. I was like, yeah. And she goes, you look like... And she paused. And in that moment, the mind just races through the possible, you know...
Right.
Self-congratulatory possibilities that one would think of. You think of hopefully attractive actors who happen to have facial hair. So she goes, you know, you look like, pause, my mind races, I think of a bunch of options, and she says, Nick Nolte. Now,
that depends on what
exactly
time of his life,
what
right?
era right. Nick Nolte. I was like, okay, I'll take like rich man, poor man Nick Nolte, but I don't want... current Nick Nolte. And and then she says, just when that thought is racing in my head, she answers that question by saying, did you see the Academy Awards? It's like, I did see the Academy Awards. So if you're talking about that Nick Nolte, who looked like he had just run a marathon sponsored by Lucky Strike, he was looking a little, you know, a little worse for wear.
Yeah,
so the beard's coming off. Long-winded way to say the beard's coming
off. And when would that be?
It couldn't be soon enough for you, because you still look at me like I'm asking you for change.
Are there going to be pictures?
I'm going to do a time lapse.
That would be cool, actually.
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
But...
I've attempted to do something like that in my lifetime. Maybe you have too. I know what stage you're talking about. It's just... It itches all the time.
It is. It's just...
Not pleasant.
Not digging it.
But you have a handsome face, so we'll count the days.
Well, that's very kind of you to say.
Yeah, no, I mean that sincerely.
Well, I look like Nick Nolte.
On some days. That's very subjective, but yeah, some days.
Some of us only... I mean, we wish we could grow a beard, and no matter how much prompting...
Really?
Oh, no.
Yeah?
No. I mean, the best I got was a mustache.
Is that the British thing?
I don't think so.
Because you don't see a lot of British people with beards and full beards. Well, you did in Victorian times, but
yes,
not so much now.
Yeah, but now it's the mustache.
Mutton chops, that's what you need.
There, Gary. Mutton chops.
Mutton chops would be a good look for you.
Charge of the Light Brigade.
Be a good look for you.
Fighting the Cossacks.
That's a word. Yes. You know, one thing I wanted to ask, was everybody safe yesterday in that little wicked storm we had for a couple hours there?
It worked.
Several hours.
I saw the arc... you know, floating by in, you know, in
tell
the valley.
Tell me about it, really.
It was great for us.
You were doing the show.
Well, and we have a rain effect in the back of the set. We have rain actually come down, and the Edgemar Theater must have a tin roof, because when it rains, you hear absolutely all of it. So it worked perfectly for us. People were just like, I love the sound effects and the storm and the wind. It was
really
just like,
realistic.
Well, we put a lot of effort into that, you know. It was great. Michael, you want to give Gary the intro he is due?
Absolutely. Uh-oh. I'm going to name a few situations here. Breakdown services, show facts, casting about, virtual channel network, talent pro, EcoCast, and Actors Access, to name a few. At the helm of these services is a former actor who has spent the past 40 years redefining the process of providing information to people in the entertainment industry. His clients include every franchise talent agency in Los Angeles and New York. He is a member of the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, and the family of companies he has created employ hundreds of people. Here to share some insights and advice with our acting audience, please welcome once again Gary Marsh.
Okay. How are you?
I'm fine. It's a bright Monday now that we have sunshine.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes, it
last,
is. It
at
is.
Last. And thank you, Gary, for coming in and taking a little time off from your office. I know you're a busy man, but we appreciate it.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. You know, any excuse that gets me.
That's what everybody says. That's an executive. Like Gary says the very same thing.
So before we get into what is currently being offered by Breakdown, I am curious about this because I should know this, but I don't. And that is, was there a causal event that that created Breakdown? Was there one moment, what was the moment where you realized that here is something that is not provided and needs to be provided? Was there that moment?
There was a moment, but it certainly wasn't sort of an epiphany that occurred at a particular point in time, and I said, oh, the industry needs this service. I was a child actor. My mother had become an agent when I was about 14 years old, and she had said, would you go around and read scripts for me, because I need somebody to read scripts. And of course, that was when there was 7 studios, 7 casting departments. Universal had 12 to about 18 hours of programming, depending upon the season in those years. And you would go there and you could spend 3-4 hours and read, you know, 12 hours of episodic television. And, you know, from Hardy Boys to Rockford. And so all the agents used to gather and you'd caravan around with the agents. And I'm sitting, and the studio would put out one script on each episode. So everybody would sort of do the 1-2-3 shift and everybody would be reading. Well, there was an agent who came in, Mitzi McGregor, and she's, you know Mitzi McGregor.
I do.
Oh,
she
my
was
God.
My agent.
Oh, my God.
Really?
At one
this is
point,
a,
yes.
Oh, my God. Well, she's
out.
Right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, she. Yeah. And I'm sitting there reading a script, and that was the one script she wanted to read.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had just started reading it. And she said, how are you doing with that script? And I said, well, I'm on page 4. She says, well, let me know when you're through. Well, about 5 minutes later, she walks over and says, so how are you doing? And I said, well, I'm on page 12 now. And she said, well, you will let me know when you're done. And about the third time she came over, I just said, blurted out, you know, can I carbon my notes? I know everybody is out there scratching their heads when I say carbon your
right.
notes. Who used carbon paper?
Right.
I mean, this is a few years ago now. I said, I'll carbon my notes. And that way you can go on and subtext, leave me alone.
Yes.
She said, well, that's a great idea. She says, where are you going next? I said, well, I'm going to Fox next. She said, well, I haven't been there. Would you do it there for me also? And I'm thinking, sure, I'm getting paid $20 a week in gas money by my mother. I'll double my income. I said, you know, if you give me $20 for the week, every studio I go to, I'll carbon my notes. And we agreed on that price. And all week long, I'm delivering my carbon notes at 7-8 o'clock at night to a darkened office. Friday, I show up to collect my $20. And she says, this is a great service you have. Here's a list of 3 or 4 agents that would love for you to call them because they'd like this too.
Wow.
That was the moment.
Okay. Wow.
Until that moment, I didn't realize that I was doing something. And of course, I figured I'll do this until, you know, I get out of college and hopefully I'll produce or I'll, you know, I'll direct movies. I won't be doing this, you know, for very long.
Yeah.
Little
yes.
did you know. Little yeah. did I know. But,
oh, wow.
But you know, that was when it was carbon paper and I'm trying to do breakdowns using 10 sheets of carbon paper. And God forbid, you know, on a Selectric, you make a mistake.
Right.
It's, you know, and fast, you know, I mean, the studios realized what I was doing about 6 months in. And I got barred from every lot in town on the same day because they all talked to each other. And I showed up and went in and met the head of casting. And they asked me what I was doing. And they said, you're doing this without permission. And you're barred from the lot. And at that point, I really knew that I had something that was really interesting. I didn't know where it would take me, certainly at that point.
Right.
But it was paying my way through college at that point, so I didn't want to see it disappear.
But if you were barred, how did you continue doing it?
It's going to sound very funny. I wore out the fabric on my knees, on my pants, begging.
Oh, okay.
I knew it was going to sound a little strange.
Just like, are you sure you want to share this story, Kevin? Oh, begging. Okay, he was begging. Okay, okay.
But agents went to bat for me. You know, an agent who has since passed away, Jim Gibson, really went to bat for me. Hoyt Bowers, who is recognized by the Casting Society of America as being a special individual, he was a casting director. And
so once they heard from other people the value of the service, like they didn't want to hear the person who was actually making money from it, it's theft, it's whatever. And then when they heard from the casting directors how much it simplified the process for them, then suddenly it was a valuable service.
It became a valuable service, right. But it took... the reality is that I had people coming up to me telling me what a stupid idea it was, that how could you ever cast a television show from a breakdown? And about 6 years after I started having people come to me and say, this is invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a new idea. And over time, people didn't, at first they didn't accept it, but over time, they began to appreciate the time-saving component that it provided them with.
So, you know what puzzled me? I know that you started the company in 1971, is that correct?
That's correct.
What puzzled me is what you're talking about as a younger man when you were doing the carbon notes for the agencies, why the studios would have had... What their objection have been there? Because you were passing it to the very people who were going to be...
Well, they weren't sure who I was passing it to.
Right.
And, the caveat when I got back in was that I could only give it to agents. And that if I was caught giving it to anybody but agents, that I was, I was in deep trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was allowed to give it to managers. But only agents at first. And as the service... progressed, actors got a hold of it, and they thought that, it was my decision to keep them from accessing this information, and I became somewhat of a villain, and it was heartbreaking actually to me, because I thought that I was really helping the community and giving more opportunity for actors by providing the service, and it wasn't until our present day version of Actors Access, which began in about 2003, that whole tone shifted and Breakdown became more and more known as somebody that really supported actors and the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it was because of the internet that I was able to make that shift and provide now services. And one of the biggest reasons that casting didn't want actors to get breakdowns is because they would get hundreds of submissions.
Right. Oh, sure. Yeah.
And they'd open up the envelope and they'd have to organize the pictures. They would get paper cuts and they would curse me for the paper cuts. with the electronic version of that whole process, no more paper cuts.
Yeah, but now you'll have people suing you for carpal tunnel. It'll be something. It'll be some equivalent. But you made an interesting point before we came in that you just touched on, too, which is how much it's a big jump to talk about from the first years of Breakdown all the way up to the internet age. But how much the internet has changed the actor's ability to, in effect, promote and one could even say manage themselves, which is and most of those tools are available through Breakdown Services /Actors Access/TalentLink, different companies. What do you think is? Do you think that in terms of an actor controlling his career, is Actors Access the most in terms of how it's been received by the acting community, is that probably the most valuable tool that they're using?
It is a valuable tool that I think that the actor's own initiative is the actor's most valuable tool. I find that a lot of actors, they get an agent and they sit back on the sofa and wait for somebody else to do the work. And I think that that is that's a huge mistake. And there is so much that an actor has access to now with the internet in terms of information about people that they're going in to see, about who is doing what in the industry, and how to use the internet as a tool to make themselves more aware. And therefore, I always say, he who has the most information wins.
Right.
And for an actor, I think that that is equally as important. Blair Hickey, who created Casting About with his partner Brian, I've listened to Blair talk on many occasions, and he really has the whole concept of an actor managing their career in the palm of his hand.
Yeah, that's true. I think whenever I talk to Blair, I always feel like the whole acting thing is really getting in the way of his promotion. Because he's a genius at it.
He's very articulate.
And he's very articulate, yeah. and more importantly, he can impart that to other people, which is invaluable. But no, he is. He's just
I've learned a lot from him in that particular area. And again, you know, part of the fun of this job is the fact that I'm always learning from other people, and I'm always being presented with new situations. But for an actor, it's really amazing that, you know, they don't find out when they're going on an appointment who else is going to be in the room. It's basically, I've got an interview. I'm going in on CSI. Well, who are you seeing on CSI? Doesn't matter. I've got an interview on CSI. And that information becomes very important. It's one of the cases that you make is when you go on a business meeting, you know prior to going to the meeting who you're going to see.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times actors are just so thrilled to actually get an appointment that they stop at the wrong place.
Right. And that's a great way to put it, because every audition, and that's I think why the profession can be so stressful. Every audition is a job interview, so it's a good way to look at it. I mean, people who have their more conventional jobs, they don't have to go on nearly as many interviews as actors do, because the jobs don't often last very long. If you're lucky, they last a long time. But no, that's a great way to phrase it. You know, it is. It's a job interview. You know, and educating yourself about who you're going to be spending that time with.
And actors have to, you know, be masters of rejection, because on, you know, only one actor can get the job. And we see it. It's really amazing. In the age of the internet, there's maybe 1,000 to 1,500 actors submitted per role. 20 actors on an episodic get to go in.
Mm.
And actors, I've heard, they say, this casting director calls me in constantly, but I never get the job. And I always say, that's not a losing proposition. That's the casting director is really saying that they trust you to represent them front of the producer.
Right. They're not bringing, you don't bring back anyone 20 times that you don't think is a capable actor.
Exactly. You know? And I think most actors fail to see that point. It's all about the job when it should be the opportunity to perform.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Casting About, and I know that's a service that was brought to you, and you were very interested in the service and growing and so forth. Tell our audience what exactly that service provides.
Casting About it's not the breakdowns, but it is an index of all the projects, television, feature film in Los Angeles, in New York. It includes theater. And it tells, it gives you notes about each show. It tells you who the casting director is, the assistant, the associates. It allows you to keep notes on all of those shows, either the show or the casting director. And it allows you to print labels on top of that. So if you're a proactive actor, you can be sending out postcards, and postcards I think are best. Letting a casting director know, I'm going to be in this, or I'm appearing in that. Better yet, why not congratulate a casting director? I hear you got this pilot. It's a great opportunity. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things, you know. It's funny. Casting directors, by and large, if you scratch the surface, you'll find that they were actors at one point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And actors go into the room, love to talk about themselves. But if you can get a casting director talking about themselves, then you've gained a friend, because nobody ever gives a casting director a chance to talk about themselves.
Right.
And with casting about, all that information is there, and it's updated daily.
I was going to say, it must be. It have to be, right?
Yeah. We have a separate research staff, mm-hmm. that is following up this information daily. And so it becomes a database. It becomes a personal database for the actor on all of their interviews. If they don't know a show, there's a log line that they can go to. Mm-hmm. And again, self-awareness. Being prepared. It's all about being proactive in this business.
But can the actor still acquire an appointment without having an agent?
Oh, absolutely, through Actors Access.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or with managers too,
right?
You know, but yeah, Actors Access. I think one of the great things about Actors Access, especially for people who have just come here, new to Los Angeles or new to any New York, Chicago, whatever, is that there's a lot of opportunity for people to get the content that they need to create marketing tools. I mean, Actors Access has a ton of stuff, but they do have a lot of independent film. They do have a lot of student work, and they do have a variety of things that really enable people to, you know, you're talking about being prepared and creating steps and the better things that actors can do to manage themselves. I booked 4 different things through Actors Access with no assistance of a manager and mm-hmm. no assistance of an agent, and it's the best stuff on my reel right now. You know, it really is the best footage, most accurately representational material on my reel right now. So
that's a great testimonial. I know any actor I know certainly goes on Actors Access. They talk about it all the time. So it is the go-to site.
And they always see us there. I have more to for that, our little banner ad right at the top, you know?
Business people, I'll be having lunch. Seriously, I'll be having lunch at a restaurant in Studio City, perhaps, you know, that's close to the studios, and someone that I don't know will come up and say, yeah. Not quite sure, and then say, do you have a radio show? Say, yes, I do. State of the arts, right? Yeah. And yes, I do. Yeah. And that's that conversation begins, which is very nice.
Yeah, you know? Well, it's a lot of traffic.
So they're paying attention.
Yeah.
Well, those are in the advertising business. That's what you call impressions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
hits. Yeah.
Hits. And you try to convince actors that they need to create those impressions on the people that can hire them, so that, you know, the goal of any actor is to be on the list of people that a casting director is going to bring in before the breakdown comes
exactly.
out.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
And get that impression. I mean, I love when people say, oh, the postcards, don't do postcards. They just throw them away. They got to look at it to throw it away. The impression is made. Even if it's discarded, the impression is made. So just, you know, and actually the great thing about casting about versus just blind mailings mm-hmm. is one of the things that Blair and Brian say very often is just, you know, if you don't do focused mailing, you might as well just be throwing the postcards out the window
right.
of your car
right.
and throwing stamps out the window as well. It's not quantity. It's effective quality of focus, you know, of getting to the, you know, if you buy all the labels and you put them on the postcards and you send them out and 40 of the postcards that you're going to are to an agency that specializes in children and you're 45 years old, you've wasted a ton of money.
Exactly.
You know.
Well, it's sort of round robin here, because you come to the understanding that, you know, the actors that really get it understand that they are the product. They I'm a business. I have my sales team. I have my marketing team.
Mm-hmm.
And there's sales where I'm submitting or I'm going directly to casting directors and showing them my newest services that I have. And then there's marketing on a broader sense. And actors have to do that, not just go out on auditions, but they have to encompass that marketing of themselves as a product also. And if they don't do that, then they're really missing an opportunity. You know, again, from my point of view as a businessman that has to market and has to do sales, the actor has to do that also.
Right, right. And we're going to talk about more ways for them to do that. And you mentioned new services because we do want to touch on that too. But we should do our live arts calendar, take a little bit of a break from this so we can do that. Can I kick it off, Michael?
Please do.
Mind?
Indeed.
Before we actually get to the live arts calendar, featured in our new 99-seat spotlight this week is Theater Banshee. Critically acclaimed and award-winning Theater Banshee brings to the stage Shakespeare's most delightful and disturbing comedy, The Merchant of Venice. In this tangled tale of friendship and romance, Antonio borrows money to help his friend and secures the loan with a pound of his own flesh as collateral. Will true love win out, or will Shylock come knife in hand to claim his pound of flesh? Flagrant racism and anti-Semitism mix uncomfortably with honor, friendship, and love in a play that defies categorization. Funny, horrifying, charming, and unsettling, see why The Merchant of Venice has remained one of Shakespeare's most popular and controversial plays for more than four centuries.
99-seat Spotlight is brought to you by Actors Access, powered by Breakdown Services. Actors Access is the essential tool for the working actor, as we've just been discussing. Upload two pictures and add a resume and profile at no charge. Take control of your career at actorsaccess.com. The explosive hit musical American Idiot, which was nominated for three Tony Awards during its Broadway run, tells the story of three boyhood friends, each searching for meaning in a post-9/11 world. Charles Isherwood of the New York Times said American Idiot jolts you right back to the dizzying roller coaster of young adulthood, that turbulent time when ecstasy and misery seem interchangeable. States the musical features the hits of having one of those days.
Oh, he's had a hot toddy.
The musical features the hits Boulevard of Broken Dreams, 21 Guns, Wake Me Up When September Ends, Holiday, and the blockbuster title track American Idiot from Green Day's 2004 Grammy Award-winning multi-platinum album of the same name. American Idiot is playing at the Amundsen Theater through April 22nd.
And for further information about any productions and or events mentioned in today's State of the Arts live calendar, visit us during the week at stateoftheartsla.com. And we also suggest you drop in at performingartslive.com, where you can search for Southern California events in several different categories happening every day of the week.
Yes, sir.
So, Gary, you mentioned before we did our little arts calendar about some of the new services that will enable actors to do exactly what you're saying it's wise for them to do. What is on the horizon for Breakdown in terms of that?
Well, we're just rolling out a new service called actinglink.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like a way for actors to showcase their talent. And in essence, what it is a national database of scenes. The only pro users can watch those scenes. In other words, somebody who's been vetted by us as either an agent, a casting director, a producer, a director, and they have to apply for a code. But they can then search the database by school, by genre of scene, by gender, age range, whether an actor is represented or not. So it gives the actor a chance to, no matter where they are, to get out there and be seen using the power, again, of the internet.
Does the actor post their own scene, or is it specific to, like, content that, like you said, a database of scenes? Where do these scenes come from?
Well, if the actor just joins Acting Link, then it is the scene that they have created, and there's a standard that we have created for them to follow.
Okay.
So there is a look and feel. It actually has come from something else I did and am currently involved in, with North American or the New Orleans Actors Resource Center.
A ton of shooting down there now.
Yeah. And what we've created together is a virtual showcase. And we've done one in New Orleans. We just finished doing one in Atlanta. We're going to be doing one in Australia, Michigan, Dallas. These are places that are on the board right now. And it's where we provide the scene, the sides to the actor. Okay. And they shoot, we shoot them doing the scene. We give them a couple of takes. They pick the one they like. And that goes out.
A luxury you don't have in a live audition.
A luxury, yes. And that then goes out as part of our EcoCast system to casting directors that have signed up to watch those scenes of those actors in that particular city. It also, their scene also goes up on ActingLink. And the it's really taken off very well. Casting directors from the networks are watching these. It's an amazing process seeing how the casting directors regionally, New York, L.A., they're eager to see these actors. And it becomes, again, just like its namesake, it is a virtual showcase, not for a specific role, but just in general, this is the talent.
And like general auditions would be. Like you'd go, if you're going to a theater and they're casting their season, and you go and you do generals and you present, you know, a showcase type thing. I mean, it sounds almost like a growth out of EcoCast. Did it evolve out of EcoCast? Or?
It did. I mean, we're using, you know, EcoCast as the tool to, you know, to get it out there, right, and to broadcast it to casting directors. And not only then do they see the audition, but they also see the actor's resume, their pictures, how to get in touch with the
actor. Oh, all
actor.
That's right there in the...
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
But again, it's using a tool that exists, and it's creating a service around that technology, using that technology that, you know, without the internet, could have never have happened.
It almost sounds like a, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you said something that triggered a thought in my mind. You said a general audition, and you were talking about theaters.
Right.
But general auditions for television or film, it's not. There is no such thing anymore, is there?
Right. Right.
So this is a really very valuable service because it is that virtually through these auditions that these casting directors, as you said, are signing up to see these people in various cities. So they are having this opportunity to see them, you said, not for a specific role, but in general.
In general.
Types, for styles.
Exactly.
For, you know.
Exactly. Which is
the first step of any process. Which is, you know what? It sounds like a distilled YouTube. It sounds like a YouTube without the muck. People are always posting YouTube clips, but this sounds like it's so focused that it makes the pool a little smaller to sift through, a lot smaller to sift through.
Paul, I couldn't have said it better.
Well, I'm just reading the cards you're holding up, Gary. I'm just reading the cards. Hold it higher. Hold it higher. I can't see it that far.
No, you're right. What's great is that the casting directors themselves have really become involved in the process, and they say, oh, on the next city where you do it, do this or do that. So they're invested in the process.
And they're morphing it by their own needs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, they want to know, they know all the actors, let's say, in Los Angeles,
right,
or a casting director in New York is fairly comfortable knowing the actors in New York to a certain extent. But there's a great curiosity about actors that are in Atlanta, that are in New Orleans, that are in some of these major centers where so much production is taking place.
Right.
There's a curiosity about who is out there, who should be on their radar.
Right.
And the internet, you know, destroys that regional cage that everybody has been in.
Right. It's a pipeline that wasn't there before.
Exactly. And we're basically using the power of the internet to communicate those, you know, the auditions to the casting directors.
So if, all right, I'm an actor, I'm in, I don't want to say a satellite city, but I'm in a city that's not New York or Chicago or Los Angeles. I'm in Austin or which is another place that's filming like crazy.
Right.
How do these actors hear about these things? How are they notified that these things are going to be happening? I realize it's in its infancy now, but is it just going to be something that's going to be posted on Actors Access? We're going to have a virtual showcase in this city on this date.
Well, Shonda Quintal, who is the managing director of the New Orleans Actors Resource Center, she controls the website, does most of the heavy lifting, quite frankly. And she posts that information on virtualauditionsonline.com.
Okay.
And she also posts the casting directors that have signed up to watch these auditions. So actors can follow that website to find out when this service is going to be provided in their city.
Okay, and that's virtualauditionsonline.com?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to say that again.
Mm-hmm.
Virtualauditionsonline.com.
I think it's a fabulous idea.
It is.
Really, really do. It gives, it's also helped, as you said, these casting directors who are familiar with their own hometown actors, Los Angeles, New York, you cited, they're discovering new talent for projects that they may be interested in, pulling maybe even going to that city to shoot in the future. That's one thing, but pulling them out of that city and letting them come here.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a great idea.
Reaching out.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. Boy, what a world we live in now.
You know,
what a world of change.
The internet changed everything.
From somebody that was sitting at a desk at a studio taking carbon notes for other people.
I tell you, speaking of that, I had to buy Whiteout the other day. I bought Whiteout, and of course, I got it all over the computer screen. Anyway, Gary, I want to. We've got a couple more minutes before we ask you about your. We always like to ask about an embarrassing performance story, but before we get to that, we got a couple more minutes to talk about Breakdown. There was another thing I wanted to ask you that we talked about earlier, and that was. You mentioned Acting Link and EcoCast we touched on. Virtual Channel Network, Seth and Otta, my friends from Breakdown, they're still doing that. I think that's something that people also need to know about. You talk about actors being informed about casting directors, the people that work for them, and I think a virtual channel network is a great opportunity for people to see that because a lot of the times the casting directors themselves are interviewed. They provide input. They share invaluable information with actors. So I do think that the virtual channel network deserves a shout out to
absolutely.
People, yeah.
The amount of pride I feel about the, as we call it, the VCN.
Yes.
It is our version of PBS. People say, well, do you charge for it? Do you register? Do you sell lists? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And I said, it makes a lot of sense. It makes sense that, I've made a living out of this industry. And just like the people that helped me when I started out, this is a way for me to give back to the community. And Seth and Otta not only share that vision, but lead that vision of providing interviews, shows, filming constantly, episodes of the different channels that we have, and providing a huge amount of educational information that is useful to actors, just to be useful to mm-hmm. actors,
right.
Not without any sort of underlying. We're not selling anything.
Right. It's just information.
It's just information, and it's great to be able to put that out there. And it grew from Seth doing this crazy internet show in one of our little offices and to what it is today, where it has quite a following of people that love to watch the episodes and go back. So anytime I can get the information out there, it's great.
And it has to feel great, especially with what you said earlier in terms of, people mistakenly thinking that you know, in the early days, like, oh, he's preventing this information from getting to us, when really all you were doing was protecting a process that would have been disastrous had, you know, that those floodgates been opened and everyone in the world get break down at the same time, which is to be disastrous. So it has to feel good to be at this point where you are, you know, providing these things and being recognized for the services that you're providing actors.
Again, you know, I started out thinking, you know, I was only going to do this a short period of time. And I would, you know, I'd go and produce a trailer or a short film, and inevitably something would happen, and I would, to the breakdown, where I'd have to really refocus my efforts and my thoughts on coming back and protecting it. And one time I'm watching it, It's a Wonderful Life, and all of a sudden it really just struck me that just like George was supposed to run the savings and loan, this was what I was supposed to do. And at that point I stopped, you know, saying, oh, I'm only doing this temporarily until I can do something else. And I really started focusing on what I was doing with Breakdown and really being happy about what I was doing instead of feeling like, well, I'm wasting my time doing this until I can produce.
Right. Right. Became a...
You know, I as I'm looking at you and I'm listening to everything that you're saying, I must say that, first of all, you're a very classy man, but you're also very passionate about what you do.
Yeah.
And everything that we've been talking about today, I think, has, you know, obviously evolved out of that passion, and you're so committed to this. And that's what it takes, I think, to do something that's in this wacky, crazy business of entertainment. You know, you've
well,
said
for
this.
40 years.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you said that the focus, the what's winning is anybody's focus on what they're doing. That's what you've done with Breakdown. That's what an actor, you're saying, can do through your services, and clearly that's correct.
Yeah, and clearly,
you know,
working.
It's a very valuable service, so kudos to you.
Thank you.
Yes, no, I mean
thank
that sincerely
you.
From my heart. That's wonderful.
Well put.
It was different, you know. You're an actor. Gary was an actor. I was an actor when I was a young kid, and it wasn't like this. It was a whole different process. It was a, you know, you did have to depend on your agent, and the it was a smaller world then,
right.
too. Not quite as complicated, but... not as fascinating either, and this technology makes it all available.
The technology and the social media and everything. It's
everything.
Just, yeah. We have 3 minutes.
Okay.
Can you share? We
this
always
is your baptism.
It's
here.
Our end of show thing where actors or people share their stories of a mishap. The floor is yours.
Thank you. In the early days of Breakdown, I didn't get all the scripts, and I had a few of the very large agencies that were getting the service. The agency didn't know that the individual agents were paying for the service out of their own pocket. And one agent at a very large agency was feeding me major feature film scripts, and I would break them down. And then the studio, of course, when they actually gave me the script, was amazing that I could turn a script around in half an hour. Of course, I'd already done it. And it turned on me at a point where the agent took my breakdown in and had made notes on it. And the head of casting at the studio saw it and said, "Where did you get that?" And he said, "I got it from Gary Marsh at Breakdown." And I get this phone call from the agent who said, "You'll never get this agency if you tell them that I gave you the script." And right afterwards, I got the call from head of casting, feature film casting. They called me in. And I'm all of 20 years old at this point, sweating bullets. And they're grilling me. And I knew I couldn't tell them where I got the script. And they said, "You are banned from studios for life." And this was on a Friday night. And I was devastated because I thought that this was the end of my career as Breakdown. So I took off in my car for San Francisco, and I drove there. And I remember very little of that crazy weekend in San Francisco. It was rather hazy, if you get my drift. Yes.
It was a different time.
It was a different time. And I came back and Monday morning and started all over again. And but I don't remember that weekend.
The lost weekend.
The lost.
Yes.
The lost breakdown weekend. Oh, okay. Well, we have all of that recorded now, so we got you now. We got you. We'll
you heard it here first.
We'll extort something from him later on.
Gary, what a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for spending the hour with us.
You're very welcome.
Great. Absolutely.
And I'm glad we were able to do this. One of our goals with the State of the Arts was to...
Part two somewhere coming up with
yes,
Gary,
definitely.
Too. I think we could do this again.
And Michael, as always, pleasure sharing the mic with
you.
And look forward to next week.
See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.